Great to see you this morning. We still have some guests that are here this morning from graduation yesterday. A lot of proud parents were in town yesterday, and some of those are still here. We're very grateful for the presence of every guest that's here this morning, regardless of the reason that you are here. And we hope that when you have the opportunity, you'll come back and be with us as we worship together here. This morning, I want to talk about Paul's anguish and Paul's concept of separation. And as I do so, I want to continue the studies that I've been doing in the book of Romans. And we've heard read this morning Romans chapter 9, verses 1 through 5. In verse 1, Paul says, "I tell the truth in Christ, I am not lying." Well, obviously, Paul wrote to Timothy about truth and about Scripture and how that Scripture was given by inspiration of God. And it is profitable for doctrine and for reproof and for correction, for instruction, which is in righteousness, that the man of God may be complete, thoroughly furnished unto every good work. The Apostle Paul was in the truth-telling business. The truth is not always what we want to hear. Sometimes we have to admit to the truth that we wish was not the truth. And as we preach the message of God, the truth must be preached regardless of how it is received. And the Apostle Paul did that. He preached the truth to such a great degree and in such a way that ultimately it cost him his life. It cost him his position in the Jewish nation. It cost him perhaps a position in his very own family because he was so willing to tell the truth. He had already given us, I just want to share with you what I have studied with you in the last few weeks. He told us what the truth was about what happens when we are in Christ. We are baptized into the death of Christ, Romans 6 and verse 3 says. And we are buried with him in baptism so that like as Christ was raised from the dead by the glory of the Father, we might also be raised to walk in newness of life. We bury the old man of sin and we are raised to walk in newness of life. We are no longer slaves to sin. We obeyed from the heart that form of doctrine which was delivered to you. And no longer were we willing, when we are in Christ, to serve sin. But we have become slaves of righteousness. That's the truth that Paul taught us in chapter 6. In chapter 7, we looked at the truth of what happens to us in the flesh. Paul talked about sin in his life and what a tragedy sin was in his life. And he bemoaned the fact that the very thing that he knew that he should not do, that's exactly what he did. And those things that he knew that he should do, those were the things that he was leaving off in his life. And the truth was, his body was consumed by sin in the flesh. And he cried out, "Who will deliver me from this body of death?" That's the truth about sin. We will die if we persist in living and pursuing a sin-filled life. But then in chapter 8, Paul told the truth about what happens to us if we accept the assurance of God and his message in his word. The assurance is, there is therefore now no condemnation to those who are in Christ Jesus, who walk not after the flesh, but walk after the Spirit. That is such a powerful message to us when we are in Christ, that we know that all things work together for good to those who love the Lord and who are called according to his purpose. The truth about what happens to us is that nothing, absolutely nothing, can separate us from the love of God, which is in Christ Jesus. Paul told the truth. Now in chapter 9, he's about to tell the truth regarding his own family. And that truth was not exactly what Paul wanted it to be. This morning, I want us to think about the truth. Paul said, I tell the truth in Christ. I am not lying. My conscience also bearing me witness in the Holy Spirit. So I first of all want us to think about truth and the Holy Spirit. And in order to do that, I want to share some of the words of Jesus with us. First of all, that show us the relationship between obedience and the truth of the Spirit. In John 14 and verse 15, a very familiar passage to us. If you love me, keep my commandments. And then verse 16 says, and I will pray the Father that he will give you another helper, that he may be able to abide with you forever. The Spirit of truth, whom the world cannot receive because it neither sees him or knows him. But you know him, for he dwells with you and will be in you. Perhaps as we teach about the Spirit of God coming to guide the apostles, this Spirit of truth, we miss the connection that Jesus makes here in verse 15 about loving God. And if we love God, we're going to keep his commandments. And it's the Spirit of truth that's going to deliver those commandments to us. And so there's a tremendous relationship between the Spirit of truth and obedience. And then second, I would like for us to see the relationship between obedience and peace. We long for peace. We live in a world full of turmoil. We live in a world full of sin that brings turmoil. We look at our world today and we see what is being taught and pushed upon us in our world, even by our own government. And we see those things that we cannot abide by if we listen to the Word, if we listen to the truth of God's Word. And there is this disruption of our peace. How we long for the gospel message to be preached and loved and obeyed by everybody. And we see many people in America rejecting God, rejecting the Bible as God's Word, rejecting the truth, and in so doing, rejecting God the Father, God the Son, and God the Spirit. In John chapter 14, beginning in verse 25, Jesus said, these things I have spoken to you while being present with you, but the Helper, the Holy Spirit, whom the Father will send in my name, he will teach you all things and bring to your remembrance all things that I said to you. Peace I leave with you. My peace I give to you. Not as the world gives do I give to you. Let not your heart be troubled, neither let it be afraid. God is encouraging us this day through his word to not let our hearts be troubled. Do not be afraid. Should we be troubled by some of the teaching? I think obviously we should. Teaching that our government is pushing, that many people are pushing upon us. But when we start thinking about our lives, we must never be in despair that the Lord is going to be defeated, that his will be defeated, that his kingdom will be destroyed or defeated. We must never forget the words of Daniel 2:44, where Daniel prophesied, in the days of these kings, the God of heaven will set up a kingdom which will never be destroyed. We must not let our hearts be disturbed and be afraid that God is not going to win. We must hang in there and listen to what God says. We must preach what God says at all costs. That's what the Apostle Paul did, and other members of that group of special people that Jesus had around him, they preached the message, and for almost all of them, it cost them their lives. They were not afraid to stand up. They were not afraid to speak the message, and they went to sleep, as it were, in peace. That's what God expects of us. And that's what we need to see, that relationship between obedience, listening to the Word of God, doing the Word of God, preaching the Word of God as we live life every day. And when we do, there is peace, not as the world gives us. It's not just absence from strife. It's not backing off in some corner and letting people have their way and have their say, regardless of how it comes across. It is standing up for God and teaching that truth that the Spirit of God brought to us. And may we see the relationship between obedience and the truth. And then third, I'd like for us to see the relationship between truth and judgment. Because you see, as we listen to the words of God again, the words of the Son of God as He came into the world in John 16, beginning with verse 8, Jesus said, "And when He was come, when He has come," speaking of that Spirit of truth, "when He has come, He will convict the world of sin, of righteousness, and of judgment of sin, because they do not believe in Me." They do not believe, rather, of righteousness, because I go to My Father and you see Me no more. Of judgment, because the ruler of this world is judged. You see the relationship that Paul would like for us to see when he says, "I speak the truth in Christ, I do not lie." He wants us to see that connection between listening to what God says and obeying what God says. He wants us to see the connection between the peace that we so desire in our lives, that settling influence, that no matter what comes, all the difficulties of life we will face. But in spite of that, we can have the peace of God because of what the Spirit has done for us in the giving of this great message of God. And then when we start thinking about sin, we do not have to be concerned about the judgment of sin in our lives, because this word, as we listen to it and do what God says, it brings righteousness in our lives. And then we can look forward to standing before the judgment seat of God, because we will hear words like, "Well done, good and faithful servant, enter into the joys of the Lord." Paul spoke the truth in Christ Jesus. And then when we read in verse 2, we read of the anguish in the heart of Paul. A sad statement of the way things were. Many of us could make the same statement, hopefully, in one sense, and in misery in another sense. Paul says, "I have great sorrow and continual grief in my heart. For I wish that I myself were accursed from Christ for my brethren, my countrymen, according to the flesh." Paul's taking a close look at his family. They are not in Christ. They have not listened to the Spirit of God. They have not been obedient. They do not have the peace that Paul speaks about and the Lord speaks about. And he is concerned about them facing judgment because they are not in a right relationship with God. Think about your life. What is it that brings sorrow to your heart? I was just talking and listening to someone who lost a favorite pet and how sad that is and the tears that it brought. Sorrow in our heart because of the loss of those animals that give us so much pleasure. We understand that, don't we? There are people in this room that have lost much greater things. I don't remember much about laying my father to rest when I was 5 years old. I don't remember very much about laying one of my brothers to rest when I was only 11. But I recall laying my oldest sister to rest. I recall laying my mother to rest. And I can tell you that all of those at this stage in my life still brings great sorrow to my heart. But there are things in my life that bring greater sorrow. And those are the things that the Apostle Paul was talking about. When I look at my family and I see family members that are not faithful to God, that have never been obedient to God, they've never listened to the word of the Spirit, they've never done what God would have them to do to be in a relationship with God, it breaks my heart. If there's anything about the Apostle Paul I can understand to some degree, when he says, I have great sorrow and continual grief in my heart. What brings sorrow and grief into your heart? My hope and my prayer is that it would be something like the Apostle Paul. But my hope is that you would want to do something about it. That you would want to change their lives. That you would want to do what the Apostle Paul did in the giving of his very life, to teach the word that the Spirit brought to him, gave to him, the truth that would set them free and give them peace and give them a great reason to look forward to standing before God in judgment. Paul said, the truth is, my heart is broken. Can you imagine him speaking the truth about that and not lying to us? I certainly can. But then he said, I want to speak the truth of separation. His heart is breaking for the people of Israel. I wish that I could be accursed for them. They are accursed. They are separated from God. The truth about my family is they are accursed. Can you look at people in the world that you absolutely love who have never been born into the family of God, who have rejected, sometimes rejected plea after plea to turn to the Lord and be obedient to Him? Can you receive the truth of separation from Christ? You see, until we do, we will never really warn them. We'll never be troubled enough, never be troubled enough to do everything we can to teach them and to encourage them. I've heard people say a number of times, if my grandmother isn't going to be saved, no one could be saved. If my dad isn't saved, no one could be saved. And I try to encourage those people to look at God's message and use His message as the standard of judgment. My mom was one of the greatest people this world has ever known in my judgment. But I cannot use my mother as the standard of judgment. We must not look at what we think of as goodness in any person in this world. Because if you look in the story of the rich young ruler in Matthew 19, when the rich young ruler called Jesus good, Jesus said, "Why do you call me good? There is none good except God." And back in Romans 3, Paul, in telling the truth, he said, there is none righteous, no, not one. And so we must not be looking at people in this world that we think are good. Listen to what Paul said here in verse 4 about the Israelites, his family. He said, to whom pertain adoption? God had adopted them as His family. It pertains to the glory, the brightness, the shining of God was to be seen in the family of Israel. The covenants that God gave with man, between God and man, they pertain to the people of Israel. The giving of the law that the Israelites held in such high esteem, that pertained to them, rightly so. And the service of God and the promises of God. And then he says, of whom are the fathers, from whom, according to the flesh, Christ came. What a pedigree. What a family. And yet they were accursed from God because they did not listen to the truth. Paul said, I tell you the truth. I lie not. He's told us the truth about what happens when we are in Christ, when we are baptized into the death of Christ, when we are buried with Christ in baptism. There is no condemnation in Christ Jesus. All things can work together for good if we love the Lord and are called according to His purpose. Nothing can separate you from the love of God which is in Christ Jesus. And sin will get us outside of that relationship with Christ. Who shall deliver Paul? Roy, you from the body of death? It's only through Christ. And in Christ can that happen. And Paul said, even my own family, they are accursed by God. And I tell you the truth, I do not lie. As we listen to the truth that we have from the Apostle Paul, have you been buried into Christ's death? Have you been buried with Christ in baptism, so that you, like as Christ was raised from the dead by the glory of the Father, you might also be raised to walk in Christ Jesus. Are you walking faithfully so that you do not have to fear, but you have that peace that God offers to all of us in Christ Jesus? Our hope is that you want to trust and obey the Lord, that you want to listen to Him, that you want to listen to the truth. And as we sing this song, look at your heart, guard your heart. And if there is need for a response to the truth that is to be found in Christ Jesus, we beg you to come. Let's stand and let us sing.
In the light of His Word.